Enjoy the Lord's blessing and fellowship.
Rejoice in this opportunity.
Will you turn to 1 John? 1 John chapters 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapters 3 and 4. We turned to chapter 3 last night from a negative point of view, and tonight I want to turn to it from a positive point of view. The issue is so important and so far-reaching, I was glad to return to this subject of evening. Begin reading with verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. This is his commandment. We should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Love one another as he gave us commandment. Precious Father, what a joy it is tonight, turn again to the Word of God, to hear what thou dost have to say in it for our hearts. In this needy, needy hour in which we live, give us truth from thy Word. It shall prepare us the more to reach this generation with the gospel. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus. This morning we were studying together one of the great conditions for prayer, that praying in the name of Jesus. You notice in our text tonight another very fundamental condition for prayer. Condition which is actually twofold, but notice that it is singular in verse 23. This is his commandment, not commandments, plural, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. He gave us commandments. This is his commandment. Believe, we love. Now we know from the Word of God, various places, that there is one condition for salvation, that is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Philippian jailer cried out and said, Sir, what must I do to be saved? The answer came back, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All of us who are believers tonight know that when we did that one thing, when we truly called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, God did save us. He brought forgiveness and new life in Christ. Why then does John here say this is his commandment, singular, that we should believe and love one another as he gave his command? It is because one who genuinely believes expresses that faith by loving one another. Faith is the condition of salvation. Loving one another is the evidence of salvation. Clear evidence that one has passed from death unto life. Our concern tonight, again, is prayer. And did you notice, as we emphasized last night together, that John is pleading for reality. Loving, verse 18, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth for reality. He has just said, verse 17, whosoever hath this world's good, and saith his brother have need, and setteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There is a reality there when one is superficial in that exercise of love one for another. Now, if our hearts condemn us about a lack of love, we do not have confidence in our prayer life. But if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive because we keep it and do those things. Please. I want us to be concerned tonight with this condition of answered prayer, of keeping his commandments. Sometimes we take prayer as a very light matter. We can get on our knees at any time and cry unto God and expect God immediately and forthrightly to answer, even though we have not kept His commandments. And John says it doesn't work that way. God's way. That's prayer. Conditional. Condition in our text. Jesus Christ is loving one another as it is. Now to illustrate this in greater detail, we turn to chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. On through chapter 5 and verse 5. And I want us to see John develop this fundamental truth of love one for another. And I must say as we begin our study of this tonight, the longer I study the Word, the longer I live among the people of God, the longer I share in the ministry of the Word of God, the more I appreciate 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide in faith, hope, love, these three are the greatest of these in life. Beloved, 1 John 4:7, let us go on loving one another. You can take all of Christian experience, wrap it up in these two words. You can take every responsibility I have in my relationship with God as a believer, wrap it up right here. Let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Remember now that the context of 1 John, the purpose of 1 John is the assurance of salvation. And so John is using love here as the evidence. One of the evidences for one knowing that he has passed the death of the life. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And if you love, you're born of God and you know God. But if you don't love, you've not been born of God and you don't know God, for God is love. Can't have God inside you without some love leaking out somewhere. You just can't do it. You can't have God, who is love, within you without manifesting, without knowing it, without demonstrating it with God. For if it isn't there, you don't have Him. Because God is love. The word love here is the Greek word agape, which speaks of the preciousness of the object. When we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, God is saying that the world, the individual members of this world, are precious to me, so precious that I gave my Son. Here he says, God, that. Let me illustrate this, John. Let me amplify this concept of love in verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world we might live. Yes. This is the kind of love I'm talking about. For God would send His Son, His only Son, into the world. This wicked world. A world that would have no room for Him in the end. A world that would try to murder all the infants 2 years old and young under. A world that would not receive Him. Religious Judaism. Orthodox Judaism of its day. God would have to write of Him, He came unto His own, and His own received Him. He so loved the world. He sent His Son. We, dead in trespasses, we, without hope and without God in this world, might live through Him. And I'm glad I'm alive tonight. Aren't you? I'm glad to be saved. I thank God for eternal life. John 3:15 is one of the grandest, most glorious texts in all the Word of God. I know of none greater. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I'm glad to be alive with you. Positively, John said, think of it. Here's the kind of love. Here's the kind of love we're talking about. Because God in heaven sent his Son. He answered that in this, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't talk about how much you love the Lord, says John. Don't talk about how much you love him. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for ours. Here John takes us to Calvary. John shows us Jesus Christ, God's Son, nailed on that cross, there to satisfy the justice of God and his love and his mercy. And John shows us there on that cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his Christ Peter. All we like sheep have gone astray, and they've turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity on us all. God put Jesus Christ to death on the cross. The Lord said, they argue, you know, as to who put Jesus Christ to death. Some people say the Jews did. The Jews did put Jesus Christ to death. They cried, crucify him, crucify him. The Roman Catholic Church was in error when they exonerated the Jews for the death of Christ. For they did cry out, murder him, the anathema. The Gentiles also put Jesus Christ. Pontius Pilate consented to his death. He released him to be crucified. That Roman governor. So he said he wanted his hands washed of the whole thing. He nevertheless had in his power humanism. He released Jesus Christ and he did it. So did you know that you put Jesus Christ? I put Jesus Christ to death. It was our sin that put him on the cross. For he was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. But the answer is not finally in any of these activities. The final analysis is God. God made his soul an offering for sin. Yes, the hatred was there in the breast of the Jews of that day. Pontius Pilate did release him. Your sins and mine put him on that tree. In the eternal counsel of God, he was the Lamb laid before the foundation. God made his soul. Beloved, this text says, when we have that text, he satisfied God for all our sins. Here in his love. Not that he loved us. He loved him. Sent his Son. This is God's love for us. Will you look now in the verses that follow? Is God's love in us? Beloved, if God so loved us, underscore the word so, we ought. Also, love. If that love would cause the eternal God to send his Son, you and I then can love one another. If that love would cause Jesus Christ to be nailed to a cross, then we ought to love one another. If that love would cause the God of heaven to voluntarily lay down his life for us, then we ought to love one another. God can do it. God will put in us. God doesn't have to. now. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. Why does he bring that subject up in this context? He tells us, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Think of it, beloved. The moment we were saved, the God of heaven came to dwell with us. That God who is love. God says, then if we love one another as believers, God dwelleth in us and his love was perfected in us and continues to be perfected in us. The strongest way that we find it here can speak of continuity, the result and effect of it here. It goes on and on and on that way. When God loves. God says, then if we love one another, who is love? And the God who manifested that love in sending his son. The God who put his son on the cross that he might live and be perfect. Furthermore, verse 13, by this know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. Another evidence that this God who is love is within us is that his Spirit is there. Paul tells us in Romans, remembering Galatians, that his Spirit beareth witness of our spirit that we're children of God. My friend, an evidence that God is in you tonight is that witness of the Holy Spirit that says you're a child of the living God. Furthermore, we have seen and we testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And he and God. Have you confessed Jesus Christ? Have you said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I believe that he came into the world to save sinners. Yes, I confess him as my personal Savior. Have you ever done this? And God does not know. God is love. Then he adds verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do you know that love in your life today? Are you abiding in that love today? Does that love throb in your heart today for the Lord, and for one another, and for precious souls for whom Christ died? Do you know that precious love? Have you experienced it? Do you know the thrill of it in your own life? God says, there's your evidence then. That God is in you. That God who is love. So John gives us then these four reasons for saying that that love is not only toward us at Calvary, but in us. Because God. Because this is so, verse 17, herein, notice your margin. Herein is love made perfect with us. We may have boldness in the day of judgment because of he is. So are we in this world. You see, in this theme of assurance of salvation, John says there's boldness in the day of judgment. All of us know about the day of judgment. Our dean of women, Mrs. Carey, who's along and sang for us tonight beautifully. She said on the way down, as I asked her about my own courses, you know, these deans learn a lot. They hear what the students think. And so I talked to her very frankly about my course. And she said the seniors scare the freshmen about my course in John and in spiritual life and later on in doctrine. And they just train them to be scared about my examination. And that's tragedy. You know I'm not that hard. Yeah, okay. Stay in with that. Lord, all right, we'll go on now. We'll get a long time the rest of the week. Now, students are afraid of the day of judgment. We're afraid of the day when the boss is coming to town, when the manager of the plant is going to arrive and make an inspection, or the chairman of the board is going to be there. These days of reckoning, when we have to go in and make our annual report or whatever it might be. Fear of the day of judgment. How does God, when God is there, when the God who is love is in your life, there's no fear of that day of judgment when we shall stand before God. There's no fear in love, verse 18. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear is torment. it appeareth it not made perfect in love. What did he say? Why, he is saying that the child of God indwelt by the Lord himself, ye not hear that news. Or, verse 17, as Christ is. Are we in this world? What are you talking about?
Yes.
Fear in the day of judgment. Fear of standing before God someday. And in this context, he says, as Christ is, so are we. As Christ is in respect to judgment, so are we in this world. Jesus Christ ever be judged for sin? Thank God, no. Could Jesus Christ ever be condemned for our sins, for his own sin? Never, never, never. Ah, he is the righteous, holy Son of God, sin, whom is most. As he is. So are we. Right here and now. In this world. What a gospel. What a salvation. That our salvation is so perfect, so complete, that our standing before God is the very standing of God's Son. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what?
The righteousness of
God. So I fear not the judgment. I look forward to being ushered into his presence. I rejoice in the expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, there will be the judgment seat of Christ, where our works will be judged. Ah, but our sins were dealt with in power once and for all. And I redeem our sins. Now, John's argument here is, because God is in us, because God's love then is inside us, that love is real. Real. So real. The salvation has been signed, sealed, and delivered. John has one more consideration there. He speaks not only of God's love toward us, however, God's love in us as believers. Now, beginning with verse 19 of chapter 4, on to chapter 5 of verse 5, he speaks of God's love through us. Beloved, we love. The word him is not in the best respect. We simply love the law. We love his people. We love the law for whom Christ died. We love this God. We love. And God's love toward us. How does God love in us? He says we love. Why? Because he says, now, in theory, when a man says, I love God, he will claim it, and he will make this bold profession. He is his brother at the same time. God says, you are. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother.
Mind our text. We have hungered for God, then we heed his commandment. Do those things that we
do. Now in theory, says John, oh, how in the world can we love one another when we don't even love the Lord? How can we say we love the Lord when we don't love one another? If we don't love the people we have to, how in the world can we say we love him? John now puts it in two letters. In practice, in verses 1 to 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begot the Father, loveth him also that is begotten. Great, that if I really love God the Father, John says, I will really love the Father. Therefore, he reasons, if I don't love his children, I don't love about that in the messages I'm to preach all night. So relax.
All right.
Oh, don't miss the principle now. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that began loveth him also, that is the Son. Now, he's saying, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God, and keep his commandments. Sounds as if John's going in circles. He is. He has a complete circle. I tell the Lord I love him when I love his children. I love the Lord's children when I love him. I love him when I love the Lord's children. I love the Lord's children when I love him. And around he goes. For this is the love of God. You and I wouldn't define love this way, verse 3. This is the love of God that we want. Keep his commandments. What is his commandment? We should believe in the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave his commandment. And his commandments are not burdensome that is local with that. Thank you, dear. You did not know my name. Thank you, that one. His commandments are not good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and have labor. I'm meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest on your soul. For my yoke is what? Easy. My burden is what? Right? Isn't that really so? Isn't it really tough to be a Christian? The text says it isn't. He said his commandments are not burdensome. Oh, but there have been lots of times when I have lost them. What do you Christians do anyway? Did everybody ask you that? Well, you don't have any fun at all. You don't go out and live it up at night. You don't get drunk. What do you do? You just go to church and sing and pray. How boring can life get? I'll come along to the service. My family will say, well, how things go tonight? My son will pick up and say, did your audience have as much fun as you did? He asked that on the telephone last night. How things going, Mark of the Box? Are the folks enjoying as much as that is? No burden to be a Christian, my friend. What a joy it is to serve Jesus Christ. Well, what are some of his commandments? Study to show thyself approved unto God. The workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Commandments. To study, to give diligence in the word of God. The love of God is to pray without ceasing. And not always to pray and not to faint. This is the command of God. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This is the command of God. This command is not me. On the first day of the week, let each one lay aside as God has prospered him. This command is not me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. His commandments are not needed. Go ye and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I knew you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Why at this point did he say, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He hasn't talked about worldliness in chapter 2. Here, clear over in chapter 5, he brings up this subject in this context. What do you say? This world system that tells us that it's an enemy. It's the children of the devil that come along and tell us, oh, it's rough, I tell you, to be a Christian. It's tough to have to go on and obey God. It's tough to have to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Oh, it's too burdensome, too grievous to make wrongs right and to spend your time loving one another instead of living for yourself and all you can become in this world. This commandment is grievous.
The devil thinks he's just no use. I don't know. I'm going too far. The Bible actually says that.
Going too far if you have to live a holy life after all felt is that a little bit of fun. The devil whispers, it's going too far, you know, when you when you can't have your own way? After all, your soul's your own, is it? Can't you live as you please? Point to fire when you have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. Haven't you agreed? You mean I've got to give up home, I've got to give up loved ones, I've got to give up wealth, I've got to give up the material blessings of life, and go and bury myself in the mission field somewhere? That's too much to ask, the devil said. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our pain. When I claim the grace of God, when I trust God to shed forth His love in my life, His commandments are no longer. You know, we fall in love.
Hey, remember?
Long time ago. My wife and I celebrated our 24th wedding anniversary on Monday of this week. We just like it. What a wonderful day. I remember when I was a kid. The thing I hated worst to do with all of experience was to do this. That was cold, yeah.
I
they sissies in the dish. So my mother learned quickly that if you really wanted to penalize me, promise me that I had to do the dishes. That solved most problems. Ah, but you know how it goes. Sometimes you forget. This young fellow forgot. He left his pajamas on the bed. Didn't hang them up. Son, I'll never forget it. You're to the mission tonight. I wept over. Came time to do the dishes, and there was the old-fashioned dishpan at the cottage on Tuca Lake, one of the Finger Lakes in New York State. Oh, you know it? I can see myself right now standing over that dishpan with a tear literally dripping out of my eyes into that dishpan. I was so humiliated. Her commandments were burdensome, I tell you. I went out. I met a redhead. And I fell in love with this redhead. Of course, you gotta know her, you know what. I went to Oil City, Pennsylvania to see her. Do you know what I'm talking about? I volunteered. Sit in that kitchen and help her with it. The man was no longer with me. My wife hated the land, had not the first time, but after I had it, I was going to be all these things. All right. The man. I do not. So when you love the Lord, you love His Word. When you love the Lord, you love the place of prayer. When you love the Lord, you're glad to give of yourself. When you love the Lord, you love God's people. Difficult as they may be, obnoxious as they may be, carnal as they may be at the moment, rebellious and stiff-necked as they may be, unwilling to work together and fellowship together, you still love them with the love of Christ. Your heart goes out to the people across the world who never heard of the Savior. You find yourself praying for them, you find yourself getting concerned for mission, and you find yourself praying for your own children about their responsibility in going to the ends of the earth with the cross. You are the Lord. You love it. You love the Lord. Back to our next verse. Verse 21 of chapter 3, verse 3. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, in the context of love, but loving in deed and in reality, then have we confidence. Whatever we ask, we receive. Then, what we receive, we keep it in that. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Go on loving one another. Question as we close is this. Am I meeting this condition for answered prayer? Do I meet this condition for answered prayer? Do I love them? Indeed. Can I look into the face of my Lord tonight and sing from all my heart, my Jesus, I love thee. I know. Can you look around God's people tonight in this room and on these grounds, back home from which you've come? You can say before God tonight you do love the Lord Jesus with their problems, with their burdens, with their carnality, with their needs. You love them. Can you say tonight you love the Lord? You express it by praying for individuals who need them. You express it by a heart concern for evangelism and redeeming the opportunity of witnessing to his saving grace. Express it by a concern for missionaries who know, in praying for them and supporting them. Love. Are there those tonight who have to say, preacher, not mine. My heart is cold. My heart is injured. I know what you're talking about. I want to say. My heart wants to throb with the love of Christ. It does not. May I say immediately, this is explanation of that, why the heavens seem wrath. This is explanation enough for God not having answered this way. For that boy, for that husband, for that neighbor. Let us confess our sin tonight with Jesus. Let us confess having lost our first love, having left our first love with Jesus. Let us confess our coldness and indifference tonight, our neglect of those who need the Savior. This be our fault. I will defend my name. That love we have in God. As we're bowed in God's presence, let us let the Holy Spirit apply His truth to our hearts. What has God said to me? Did I come short? Is the love not there at all? Are there people I do not love with a love of man? Do I really care for sinners who need a Savior? Am I doing something definite? If not, let's confess our sin. Let us claim this blessing. Now let us trust the Lord to pour forth that love into our hearts anew. For He is there. He is love. Let us trust Him. Claim it in Jesus' name. That love once more will be there in experience. To love the Lord and His and sinners will. Welcome, my brother and sister Travis, back to Heart of the Palms tonight, Brother Paul Travis.